this morning I just want to share a few thoughts from the Gospels. And hopefully behind me you'll have flashing some different colours, two words on the screen. Can anybody read those two words? Let me know what they say.
How long?
How long? There's a question. And that's the title of my message this morning, How Long? And you'll see where I'm going when we read the Gospel story. We're going to turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 9. And quite quickly this morning I want to read the account that begins at verse 14. There's a story here about a little boy and what happened when he met Jesus. Mark 9 verse 14 says this, "And when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' And Jesus answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when Jesus saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." Amen. You know, in this reading we have a story about a man that brought his young boy, his young son, to the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus wasn't with his disciples at the time. He'd taken Peter, James and John, and they was up the mountain, and they were coming down the mountain, and as they were coming down the mountain they met the rest of the disciples, and there was this crowd around them with this man and his boy. And Jesus asks this question, how long, three times in that reading. Twice he asks the question, really in response to their lack of faith, their lack of trust. You know, why couldn't the disciples minister to this little boy and help him out? And Jesus says, look, he says, how long have I got to be with you? So you can almost sense the frustration in his voice when he's talking to his disciples. You know, boys, how long am I going to be with you? When are you going to learn the lessons that I've been teaching you over these last few years? Don't forget, his disciples, his 12 disciples, his 12 young men, they'd spent every day with Jesus since he called them. They saw the way he acted. They saw the things he did. They knew what he was teaching. They was at every service that he preached at. They were listening at this man Jesus, the Son of God, teaching them the truths that they needed to know. And he said, boys, how long have I got to be with you? Then he said, like this one, he said, this is what he says in today's English. It says in the scripture, he says, how long shall I bear with you? But no, he said, the way we would say it, he says, guys, he says, how long have I got to put up with you? How long have I got to put up with what you're, the way you think and the way you act? And he said, you've got to get in line with God. He said, how long have I got to be here? You know, Jesus was knowing that his time was coming where he was going to be crucified, and then he'd ascend to his Father. He wouldn't be with the disciples physically. He'd be with them in spirit, but by spirit he wouldn't be there in his physical frame. He knew that time was coming. So he said, how long am I going to be with you? But he said, how long am I going to put up with the way you think and the way you act? Now, how long is it going to be before you get in touch with God? There's a third question he asks. We find this in verse 21. He directs this to the Father. This isn't a rebuke or anything. He wants to do this. He says, how long has the boy been like this? How long have you been suffering this complaint where this spirit takes the young boy and seizes him and throws him to the ground and tries to destroy him? And what we learn from this father is that this young boy, I guess he's probably somewhere, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but he's probably somewhere approaching his, between 10 and 12, somewhere like that. But he says he's been like this since he was a young child, since his childhood. A long time where this spirit seized him, made the parents suffer, you know, not knowing whether their boy was going to die because this evil spirit used to take this young lad and used to throw him into water, used to throw him into the fire, trying to kill him. And that's what the devil does. Now the Bible says this, and Jesus said it. He says the devil, talking, he directs it at the devil, he says the thief, who is the devil, he says, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil's about. He wants to kill and destroy the things that are dear to God, and that means you and me. We're dear to God. You know, God loves us so much, and if the devil can destroy us, he's not trying to destroy us, he's trying to hurt God. That's what the bottom line is. And so this spirit used to take this young lad and try and destroy him. And Jesus asked this question, how long has this been happening? What this man, his wife, the parents of this boy, what they were facing, we might say, was an impossible situation. I'll tell you what made it worse, is because they brought their little boy to the one place they knew they could get help. It's like bringing him into the church, but the leader wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there. But they brought him to the disciples. Now the disciples, you can read it in other scriptures, they've been out preaching. They've been out ministering, healing the sick. They've been out preaching the gospel, seeing people come to the Lord. They've all had that practice. They've all done it because Jesus sent them out in twos. Ahead of where he was going, he sent them to other villages. He said, I'm coming into that village next. So go there and start telling the good news that I'm coming. Jesus sent them out to preach. He sent them out to heal the sick, to cast out the devils. He sent them all to do all those things. But here we find that this group of disciples, they couldn't help this man. And that made it worse. It was an impossible situation. How how long is this man going to suffer? Well, the disciples couldn't help him. They should have been able to help him, but they couldn't. There was a woman, we read about her a few chapters beforehand, in chapter 5. She had a problem in her body. She was bleeding. She had this hemorrhage for 12 years. And she was in an impossible situation, because in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, it tells us here that, you know, she suffered under many physicians, under many doctors. She went to every doctor in town, every specialist, trying to get well. Now, in those days, they had to pay for the doctor, they had to pay for treatment, and the Bible tells us that she spent every penny that she'd saved on trying to get well. And she wasn't getting any better, the Bible actually tells us she was getting worse. Even though she'd been to every doctor, she'd been to every specialist, she'd spent all her life savings, this woman was getting worse. She was in an impossible situation. And do you know what? All she kept hearing every time she went to the doctor was this: sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. Now, have you heard those sort of things? That's really what the disciples here were telling this man. We can't do it. We can't help you, sir. You know, we hear those things from time to time when perhaps we go to the doctors, or when we go to see the bank manager, or we go and they say, sorry, we can't help. There's nothing we can do. There's no hope for you. You'll never be able to do what you want to do. Let me tell you something as a way of a little testimony. In 1976, the doctors told me I would never be able to turn my arms around. This one. Because I broke it in two places. Snapped completely. Two places. Right. And my dad's sitting on the front row. I tell you, he missed his tea. He had to take it to hospital. He says, my arm was shaped like this. Doubled up. Two places. Like a loop. And they told me I'd never be able to turn my hands like this. This one here. As much as I could do it, they probably said I'd be able to get it to about there. And that's all I could do for 5 years. Just get my arm around to about there. But I was sitting in a service, a little bit bigger than this. You know, there were several thousand in the meeting. You know, and that morning, all I was doing was sitting in church. I wasn't praying. I was listening to a man preach. Some amazing things had taken place, and I'm not going to go into it this morning about what happened that week. But I was just sitting there, we were singing, we were praising, we were listening to the Word of God. And I don't even remember it happening, but I came out of the service and I could turn my hands. Nothing, doctor said, there's nothing that can be done. You'll never be able to do that. My God, I have to push it over, I can do it quite freely. And I want to tell you something else. I had a problem last year. And I went to the Lord, and it was about something that was happening in my body, and I thought, well, I'm not having this, you know, and I went before the Lord, and you know what God said to me? He says, do you remember 1981? I said, yes, I remember 1981, because that's when it was, that's when I got healed. God said, what I did then, so that I can do right now. You know, the doctors say there's no hope. The specialists say there's nothing they can do. The bank manager says they ain't gonna be able to do that. Because I ain't giving you the money. Lots of people tell us, well, it can't happen. There's more chance that the pigs will fly than that. That's how the way people talk. You can't do it, it can't happen. And that's really what these people were in this situation here. Impossible situation. But Jesus said, I love these words, verse 23, can you read them? He says, if you can believe, if you can believe, what's it say? Does it say, you will never be able to? No, it doesn't. If you can believe, all things are possible. Did you hear that? All things are possible. It does not say everything's possible except what you're going through. Because, man, you've got it tough. You've got it bad. Now, Jesus doesn't say that. He says, if you can believe. He was directing that to the father, because this father was in an impossible situation. He'd seen his son suffer for years under the influence of this evil spirit. He'd seen his son be thrown onto the fire and nearly burned to death. He'd seen his son being thrown into water and nearly drowning. And he's coming there, and he's coming, and he's desperate, and he comes to the disciples, and when he's got his hopes up, and he brings them to the disciples, but the disciples, we can't do it. But thank God Jesus isn't too far away. And Jesus comes, and he says, look, he says, man, he says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Did you know, and you probably do, but I'll remind you anyway, believing God, trusting God is the way you get anything from Him. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the very first prayer you probably prayed, really directed to God in sincerity, you know, you might pray prayers beforehand, you know, oh, God, get me out of this problem I'm in. But when the first time you really sincerely prayed and you asked the Lord to come into your heart, into your life, what happened? Did Jesus say, well, son, daughter, you've just been too bad? Yeah, he could be saying for you, oh, you've been bad. No, he didn't. You ask Jesus into your heart, he says, you're forgiven.
Amen.
Son, you're forgiven. Daughter, your sins are gone, they're cleansed. Jesus, and that's how we receive salvation. We believe on the Lord Jesus. How do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? You know, perhaps it's people that you've perhaps been seeking God for being filled with the Spirit, being able to speak in tongues, or maybe you want to move on, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you speak in tongues, but maybe you really want to move in the gifts of prophecy or some of the other areas. Well, how do you do it? You believe God. That's the way you receive the Holy Spirit. You put your trust in God. You believe Him. As you receive healing, you believe God. As you receive any need met, you believe what God says. Believing is the key to receiving anything from God. Because what happens is when you put your faith in God, you trust Him, you're giving all the honor to Him, you're saying, yeah, I can't do it, but you can. I put my trust in you, Lord, put my trust in you, Father. Because when you do that, you're honoring God, you're giving God all the honor. And when you give God all the honor, Jesus said, Him that honoreth me, Him I will honor. See, God honors your faith. God rewards those who believe. That's what it says in Hebrews. We read it quite frequently. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible. That's an impossibility. You can't please God without faith. And that's the only impossibility there is, as far as we're concerned. We can't. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to God must believe that He is, what's it say, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those who put their faith in Him. God rewards those who trust Him. You see, if you can believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Isn't that good? So there's no impossible situations that you can't get out of. That's really good news. There's nothing that the doctors can say, nothing that the specialists can say, nothing that Brother Dougie shared it this morning. You know, he said he got hit by the truck. And they say, look, what they were saying to him was, it's impossible, brother, none of your bones are broken. It's impossible that you didn't have any. But all things are possible to him who believes, Jesus said. You know, there is no impossible situation that can't be got out of. Because what happens is, I want you to, if you know how to spell and you know how to read, the word impossible is spelled I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. I-M starts I-M, impossible. But you know what happens when you bring God into it? It becomes impossible. Him, possible. able to do it. Impossible. It's possible for God when you bring God into it. Is it possible? Impossible for you, but possible to Him. Impossible. H-I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. Impossible. But this man here, okay, he said, okay, Lord, I believe. That's all it takes. Lord, I believe. But then he said something, Jesus, he said, I do believe what you're telling me. He says, but there's just something niggling inside me that says, I'm still not quite sure. Oh, and how many of us are like that? Yes, God, we believe you think you can do it. We know you can heal, but Lord, I'm just not quite sure where I'm concerned. I've had this sickness a long time, Lord. I've had this problem for years. Are you really sure you can do it? That's how probably don't use those words, but that's how we act. We say, yes, God, you can do it. They heard this word, but you can do it, God. And brothers, and you hear in the church, they say, hey, brother, don't worry, just trust God. He said, yeah, it's okay, but I preached a sermon once. You'll have to forgive me for the way it comes out, because it perhaps doesn't sound, but it says, get your butt off my bridge. Have you heard of that? You've heard the story of the three goats that cross over, three billy goats. If you've heard that story, you'll know where these three goats, they try to get over the bridge, and this big ugly troll jumps on the bridge and tries to knock them off. And, you know, the last goat to cross the bridge, he says, nothing this, and he knocks the troll off the bridge himself. He says, get your butt off my bridge. And that's why we've got a lot of butts in where God could. Yeah, God do it. I know God do it, but it's time to get rid of the butts. Just trust God. God can do it. And that's what this man said. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's still a lot of difficult things going on. I've got some little doubts. But what if it doesn't work? What if I don't get healed? What if my needs don't get met? Now, what happens if the worst happens and it gets worse? We can have lots of but ifs. But there's only one but if that we need to worry about. And that's, but what if it does work? Then what are you going to do? What if you do get healed? What if your needs aren't there? Because they will be if you're trusting God. You know, it's very hard. And I know it's very hard to trust God and believe God when everything's going against us. You know, when the bills are piling up. You know, when pain is wrapped, our body's wrapped with pain. It's very hard to say, yeah, we trust God. And Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, look, he says, it is difficult. Paul calls it a good fight of faith. He said, it's going to be a struggle, it's going to be a fight, but it's going to be worthwhile if you come through. You know, if you stick to it, you keep on believing. You know, when our situations and circumstances are against us, we've got to stand strong. We've got to fight on our hands. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. But if you can do it, if you can stick with it, if you can trust God when everything's against you, you're going to get your answer. You're going to come through. You know, faith is standing strong in God when everything else is against us. What's this man say? He says, look, he says, Lord, I believe in this, but help my unbelief. Help me in those areas where I'm not quite sure. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. And I trust this to help you and set you free, those of you that have been going through some problems and needs. Did you know you can have faith in God and still have thoughts of doubt in your mind? And God will bring you through. You say, well, the Bible tells us not to doubt. I know the Bible tells us not to doubt. You know what it actually says? It says, do not doubt in your heart. You can have thoughts in your head and you think thoughts every day of the week. What you do with those thoughts counts. If you just forget them, let them go, let them pass on, then you don't think them anymore. But the moment you start thinking about those thoughts and you start pondering on them and you dwell on them and you start speaking them and repeating them, you're getting them into your heart. We've got a little computer here. Now, not quite the same as the old computers used to be, because what happens on the computer is you can type in instructions and it comes up on the screen. And in the old days, the old style computers, you could have had this typed up, and if the power went off, you lost everything. But it still happens today. You won't believe how many times I've sat there and almost could hit myself because I've done something and then something's happened, the battery's gone on it or something, and everything, or the power cut goes and you lose everything. You have to start again. But what the old computers, you had to press what they called the enter button. And when you press the enter button, the computer remembered it. And that's what happens. You know, you can have things in your heart, but until you press that spiritual enter button, that spiritual key, and get them into your heart, doesn't do any good. That's why we say when it's not good enough to believe with your head, you've got to believe it, you've got to get it from your head into your heart. You've got to get it, you've got to get the truth of the gospel out of your head and into your heart, because that's the crucible of faith, your heart. You know, that's where it all happens. What does the scripture say? Romans says, he who believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be saved. It's not he who believes with what his head, because that's just head knowledge. You don't believe head, you only believe with your heart. So you can believe in your heart, but you can still entertain doubts of thought in your head. One man, one preacher put it like this. His name was an elderly man with the Lord now. His name was Kenneth Hagin. And he said this, he said, you can't stop the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting in your hair. Did you know that? You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. You know, the thoughts can come in and they can go. But don't believe those thoughts. Don't dwell on those thoughts. So when you get that thought, well, maybe I'll work it, he'll say, no, that's not my thought. I don't think that thought. I want to think what God says. And God says, all things are possible to him who believes. Help my unbelief. Help me get through this, Lord, he says. Most of us would not dare doubt that God can do anything. This man knew God could do it. That's why he brought his son to Jesus in the first place. If he had any doubt that Jesus was able to heal his son, he wouldn't have even bothered going to where Jesus was. And none of us would even dare doubt that God couldn't do it. We might say, well, God can't do that, because we know God can. But very often we do doubt that he's willing to do it for us. Well, I don't know whether God will do this to me. I don't know whether God will heal me. Listen. This Bible, this book, is packed full of promises that, first of all, God wants to forgive you of your sin. That's his will, to forgive you. Then we read that it's God's will, because the Gospels are packed full of it, and there's other scriptures, that God wants to heal you of every sickness and every disease. God is willing that you be blessed. God's willing that you grow. God's willing that you go on. God's willing that you have every need met. He said that to the leper. The leper came to him and says, Lord, he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. But Jesus says, I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. Be healed. I am willing. Have your needs met. It's a command that goes forth from heaven. And look what happens. When you hang on there in faith, if you can believe, this man says, yes, Lord, I do believe. Now, I've got a few doubts in my mind, but I know, I do believe that you can do it. And that's all Jesus needs, just for you to hook up with him and say, yes, Lord, I believe. And when Jesus saw it, he says in verse 25, he rebuked the unclean spirit, and he said to this unclean spirit, he says, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Listen to verse 26, it says, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Yeah, and came out of him. The spirit convulsed him and came out. It didn't hang around. In actual fact, the spirit came out so forcibly that the young boy fell to the ground and looked like he was dead. Matter of fact, people said, yes, he is dead. But then Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he got up and he walked about. You know, there's an old man of God. Some of you may have heard of him. Lived hundreds of years ago. Became a missionary to a very tough situation. Very tough country. That man, he went as a missionary to China. That man's name was Hudson Taylor. Now Hudson Taylor, this great missionary, he's quoted as saying this when he was presented with a problem. And the problem was, I believe it was China. Now how on earth are you going to make any difference on that nation of China? He's quoted as saying this. He says, first, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. But then third, it's done. First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Then third, it's done. And that's the case when we put our trust in God. Yeah, we might have an impossible situation. We might be facing impossible things. But when we bring it to God, the impossible becomes difficult. And then the difficult becomes done. What was once impossible, we say, yeah, well, it's not impossible anymore. It might be difficult. It might be a struggle. We might have to stand in faith and believe God. It's not going to be easy. It's difficult. But it will be done. Impossible, difficult, done. How long? As soon as you can get real with God and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Because as soon as you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Amen.